boom, then bust. That seems to be the fate of many country towns whose fortunes ride on the roller coaster of the mining industry. The crest of the boom means high-paying jobs, new infrastructure, a prospering community, and a real estate market ripe for investment. But when the bust comes, populations inevitably decline and businesses close as commodity prices go down and jobs dry up. For many communities, a change in international commodity markets can kickstart a fresh boom and the cycle begins again. ABC Rural paid a visit to mining towns around the country to find out how locals manage to ride these ups and downs. Musselbrook's love affair with coal started in the late 1800s, when the Hunter Valley town was better known for its dairy, horses and cattle. There was just one underground mine then, worked by horses and men digging by hand. Today, Musselbrook has some of Australia's major mining companies, operating five coal mines, producing 50 million tonnes annually. New wealth and prosperities followed, until the industry succumbed to a high Australian dollar and a downturn in coal prices. Mike Pritchard reports on a town struggling to find its feet again.
After every wild party, there's a mess to clean up and some bad hangovers. And in economics, there's a bust after every boom. The coal mining town of Musselbrook in the Hunter Valley may not be in the bust mode, but there's no doubt it's suffering the hangover effects of a mining boom. A mining boom that's been in the making now for 100 years. The first coal was mined in the late 1800s. Today, Musselbrook coal mines produce 50 million tonnes each year. Maurie Gray is a market gardener these days, but remembers when coal was being dug out by hand and horses were used to haul the coal to the top of the pit.
Yeah, they used to have the horses and they'd bring the skips out full of coal. And they used to dig the coal out, believe it or not.
Hard work. You were how old?
15 to 18 in them days. I used to bring the skips out full of coal and then load them where the loader used to be.
Mining hit its peak in Musselbrook in 2011 and 12, the construction phase of the mining boom. Jenny Williams, research fellow with the Hunter Valley Research Foundation, can understand why the downturn is hurting.
It's been a record level resources investment boom, and that's the boom is around construction. That is not following through, but it certainly isn't bust. We've moved into the production phase.
The phasing out of the construction stage of the mining industry in the Upper Hunter has left some businesses struggling.
2013 was a bad year, and across the board, we talk to a random sample of 300 businesses every 6 months, and as they're representative of this area, they're both mostly small medium enterprises. A lot of them are in retail and in service areas, and yes, they've done it tough in 2013. That's certainly what the data is telling us. However, we're thinking that's the sort of the short run hangover after the big party.
At the height of the boom, real estate property owners were among the big winners. Estate agent Sandy Warburton saw prices rise sharply, with four-bedroom homes renting for over $500 a week, forcing some of the families out of their rented homes onto the local reserves.
We had waiting lists. There were people at the showground. There were people at Lake Liddell, you know, to find accommodation. And it got to the stage too where we were finding people that were buying a house that otherwise would have rented for a while and thought, well, we can't find anything to rent, so we need to buy.
What was the market asking then?
Back then, a three-bedroom home, you would pay up to $400 a week for to rent. You know, so probably the high 300s to 400 a week was commonplace for a nice three-bedroom home. And then if we looked at the four-bedroom home market, and there were a lot of project homes that have been built over the last 5 to 7 years, those homes were renting for $450, $480 a week, and the really nice four-bedroom homes, family homes, yeah, 500 plus.
And where are we at today? How far did we drop?
Look, it's come back at least 20%. So we're seeing the $450 homes now worth, when I say worth, people are paying $320, $340 a week for. The three-bedroom homes now, the gap in difference is probably, if you're getting $300 and something, you've had a great day.
Traditional clubs and pubs struggled to manage the population explosion. Daryl Egan manages the local RSL club and can't recall a time in Muswellbrook that was so prosperous.
The whole area was operating at about 120%. It was out of control. Now it's maybe back to 80%. Poker machine revenue and the bar are pretty similar. The other thing, Mike, is we've had a lot of community groups approach us about donations where the coal mining industry were supporting them. Now we've come to the party.
Watching over the rise and fall of the coal development was Muswellbrook Mayor Martin Rush, pointing to three reasons why development has cooled.
It ended because of three factors in the main: the price of coal that we're receiving for thermal coal on international markets, the Australian dollar, and the competitiveness of the coal industry itself. It was ramping up so quickly and competing for scarce inputs that it pushed up the value of those inputs to a point that decreased the competitiveness of the coal industry itself. And for that reason, the capital has now really slowed, and new mining proponents are much more cautious about the additional investment dollars they're putting into coal.
New businesses were opening every week in Muswellbrook during the boom, giving rise to new wealth. President of the Muswellbrook Chamber of Commerce, Mike Kelly.
During the party, you know, over the previous, say, 3 or 4 years, there was very much a sense of just keeping up, running with the so-called boom, the demand for the product, the price of the product, the demand for services to that industry appeared to be growing exponentially.
President of the Muswellbrook Chamber of Commerce, Mike Kelly, and that story from Mike Pritchard. The Pilbara region of Western Australia has some of the oldest rock formations on Earth. It's a vast, beautiful red earth landscape that's rich in iron ore. A little over 1,500 kilometres north of Perth, Karratha sits on the Pilbara coast and is the gateway to much of the region. But a move from construction to production on several projects has left many wondering whether Karratha's boom is over, as Lucy Bell reports.
Karratha is the epitome of Australia's iron ore boom, built in the 1960s on the back of the growth of Hamersley Iron. When land ran out in the seaside town of Dampier, a new regional hub was created at Karratha. Terry Swetman has lived here for 42 years. I've come to catch up with him because he's seen this place transform from a tight-knit outback community into a bustling town filled with high-vis shirts and four-wheel drives.
The town back then was divided into blocks A, B, C, D, E, F and G. Depends where you worked. My family worked in the power station, my dad, so that was C block. A block was sort of predominantly the management or the services guys that ran the town looked after it. B block was the local government area, water corp, teachers, people like that, that were non-Hamsley Iron, so to speak. Yeah, everybody knew everybody. We all got on very well.
When would you say that Karratha boomed, Terry?
I wouldn't say, boom, Woodside came in and then Woodside started developing the town and things started to change rapidly. Where the truck stop is out of town, before that was built out there, you could quite easily see a lot of tents, cars, campers and people sleeping out around there because there was just no accommodation in town at all before the camps. So that's where they were sleeping a lot of the time. And then the transportable camps started coming into town. If you went to the hotels like the Tambray, any of the pubs, it was always crowded, a lot of people there, and then you started realising that it was starting to suddenly ramp up and a lot of people coming into town. And it's starting to look a lot different to what it used to be.
One of Karratha's iconic sights is the gas flare that glows at night from the Burrup Peninsula. I can see it from where I'm standing in town. The Burrup is home to some of the world's oldest rock art and also one of the country's largest natural gas developments. From a town founded on iron ore, Karratha attracted another boom with the development of Woodside's LNG project, Pluto. But as construction wrapped up and Pluto moved into production, fewer workers were needed on site. For local hairdressing salon owner Helen, that's meant a downturn in business.
I came 2 years ago and the town was absolutely just buzzing and pumping. Like, I go to the shops and I felt like that I was out of dress code because I wasn't in high vis. I worked in the mall at the time and we just turned away people left, right and centre, and it was just like, wow, this is amazing. And then it was funny because I went back east, came back because I knew that I was going to set up a business, and I was like, whoa, where's all the people gone? I lost about 30 families last year because they got made either redundant or had to go FIFO. So that was really, really sad. I sort of wonder now, did I make the right call? I know it's only been 12 months, but I'm not going to be able to sustain being here. I just thought being here in a mining town would be a bigger turnover.
Helen isn't the only one who's noticed things seem a little quieter. John runs a coffee van on the highway heading out of Karratha. In the pre-dawn light, there's a long queue of reflective vests waiting for their caffeine hit. But John says it's not as busy as it was before.
Yeah, it's a bit quiet. I think most businesses in town will notice how quiet it's got. It's like plateaus. I think it's most things do that. They go and then they come back, and then now I think it's just going flat, and yeah, hopefully they'll go back up again.
John's customers are crossing their fingers too. There's a variety of opinions on just where Karratha is sitting on the boom-bust scale.
I would put Karratha on the bust side more than on the boom. It has gotten a lot slower in the past 8 to 9 months. I can't see any changes coming that's going to make it any better.
If you asked me last year, I would have said bust, but now I'm starting to think that it's starting to pick up again, so I'd say boom.
Since I got here 2 years ago, it's gone downhill a lot. It's closer to the bust side, I think. There is talk of things looking up, which would be nice, but I'm not really sure.
One local who is firmly in the boom camp is Dane Corr. His family runs Karratha Earth Moving and Sand Supplies. They've worked on some of the town's biggest projects and are currently contracted to work on a local waste management facility. I've come to catch up with Dane on site. He says their company anticipated this slowdown and they're capitalising on it.
Yeah, we kind of worked on the philosophy that winter was our season in terms of the economic winter. During the boom time, we got our systems in our company and our company structure and also development of our gear right during the boom period to best get the most out of it during the so-called downturn.
Whereas other people might be sort of downsizing in their staff, have you taken on a few so far this year?
Yeah, this year we've taken about 7 or 8 people. I think probably about 50 people now spread amongst the two companies. They all live locally, spend locally, and I'm hoping to grow that to more one day. I think that Karratha had kept going the way it was going during the boom period, I think we would have imploded on ourselves and not survived.
The rebranding of Karratha from a FIFO hub into a family-friendly town is well underway. Late last year, a street party was held to open Karratha's new town centre where I'm standing now. On either side of me are two high-rise buildings, and in front of me is the new main drag, flanked by saplings and some colourful sprays of bougainvillea. The new look is something that Shire CEO Chris Adams is pretty proud of. His vision for this place is a Pilbara city with a population of 50,000 by 2035. He doesn't buy into the argument that Karratha's heyday has passed.
Well, if this is a bust, long live the bust. Things are going pretty well here still. As you can see here where we're sitting, it's a busy street, there's cafes, there's restaurants, and there's development going all around us.
Less people are needed when we move into operation from construction. Do you think that is likely to affect your vision for Karratha?
There has been a slight slowdown, but everyone knew it was coming. It hasn't been a surprise to anybody. The difference with Karratha is we're not just a one-trick pony. We've got oil and gas, we've got iron ore, we've got things like the ammonium nitrate plant, we've got logistics, we've got a significant port. One thing we know is there's a lot more projects on the horizon too. It's not like one construction project finishes and the world finishes up here. There is enough economic activity for the town to survive post any boom or bust.
Chris Adams, the CEO of the Shire of Roebourne, ending that report from Lucy Bell.